we're going to preach on Molech tonight. Leviticus 18 and verse 21. God says, "And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord." Flip over two chapters to chapter 20, verse 2. It says, "Again thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. And I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he has given his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name." Now I want you to use your imagination, praise God. In the Bible, we're told that Molech was set up in the Valley of Hinnom. And the Valley of Hinnom was right outside of Jerusalem. It was a valley. And there was a place in that valley called Tophet. And there was an idol set up there, and his name was Molech. And Molech means the king. And old Molech was made out of brass. And Molech was in the shape of a man, but he had the head of a bull with two horns. And his arms was turned up like this, like you would hold it and receive a baby. And it was there. And on certain nights, they would have a ritual. They would cause her children to pass through the fire on the Molech. What they would do, they would start a fire inside that brass idol. And they would heat it until its arms was red hot. And then they would take a baby or a small infant, a child, and they would lay it into the arms of Molech. And it would begin to scream as it was cooked. And while they was doing this, they would play drums really loud so the daddy and the mommy couldn't hear the baby crying, so they wouldn't back out and go get their baby. But you could hear the drum beat all over the valley of Hinnom. And that's Molech. And God says, don't let your children pass through the fire onto Molech. He said, if any man does that, he said, I'll set my face against him and he'll be stoned to death. You imagine God seeing this? God's seen all this. He's seen these babies being offered to Molech, this false god. And it broke his heart, and he told his people, look, don't do that. Don't do it, or I'll punish you. That's the heart of God. You know, everything in the Bible is written for us today. You know that. I don't know any idol called Molech today where they heat it, but that teaching there is for us. And this Molech, if you look in chapter 19, verse 4, says, "Turn you not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God." I mean, Molech was the metal god, the molten god. And he was the horn god. He had horns on his head like a cow, like a bull. And he was worshipped. After God warned his people, Israel, over and over again, don't do this or I will punish you. Don't do this, I'll put my face against you. Israel done it. Time went by and they began to worship the idol Molech. God's people. God's people that had the word of God, that had, amen, the temple of God, they turned and began to worship this idol. Look with me in Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah 7 verse 30. God says, "For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, says the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the sons of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart." God says they're going, they're building the high places, the worship places in Tophet, and they're burning their babies, they're burning their children. He says, "I've never commanded you to do nothing like that. It's never even entered my heart for you to burn your children. And there you are, destroying your children." Chapter 32 of Jeremiah, verse 35. "And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. I thought God cares about children. God cares about the young people. And it angered him when he seen these people who knew better offering their children into the fire of Molech and then causing their children to pass through the fire onto this false god. Who's behind that false god? Satan. He was giving their children right over to Satan. Is it that way today? They don't lay them on the fiery arms of a Molech, but they put them right into the arms of the devil. Amen. You know the Bible says to train up a child in the way that it should go. And when it's old, amen, or not depart from it. Amen. What's the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Praise God. And no man comes to the Father but by me. Amen. Jesus Christ is the way. And it's my job to take my children and put them right in the way. Amen. Christ's way. And guide them in it, praise God. And cause them to walk in it. Amen. Amen. Now I thought, amen, I was talking last night and there's a boy I went to school with and he's a preacher now and his daddy's a preacher. And he's into the liberal stuff and we was talking about he should know better. His daddy's a preacher. And I thought for a minute, I said, you know, I don't know that. I said, when I was in school, his daddy would let him buy that rock and roll heavy metal music and let him listen to it. Well, I'm telling him what all we watched on TV. But if you asked his daddy, I'm sure his daddy would say, oh, I raised him up in the way. No, that's not the way. Hey, man, you don't give your child sin. I don't care if they claim I'm not a Christian or not. Guess what? They're not getting sin from daddy. Not from me. The whole world is dragging the young people straight to hell and the parents is behind them pushing them. They don't need no help from you. They don't need no help from me. Amen. We should love Jesus Christ enough to say, no, I'm not giving you sin. Amen. I'm not going to give you to the devil. I'm going to fight for you with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul. I'm standing up against him. I'm not giving you to the devil. I'm not helping you sin. I'm not giving you to the world. Let your children go and dance like hookers. Let them go dance just like old hooker. Them old dances. I'm raising up in the way. No, you're not. Let me tell you something. The way is the way that Jesus Christ would walk. Amen. It's the way that he already walked. He's the forerunner. We're supposed to be running behind the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Not putting our kids in the arms of old Molech. We're doing it. You know what they're calling the way now? Well, I brought them to Sunday school and church once in a while. What about at home? What do they see you watch on TV? What do they see you listen to on the radio? What was you doing? What did you let them do? What did you put your blessing up on? That's not the way. Now they'll twist the scripture. The Bible says even when they're old, they're not going to depart from the way. If you train them upright in that way. They'll twist it now. That means they'll come back after they backslide for 20 years. They don't say that. It says when you walk and put them in the way, train them up in the way, they will not depart from it. Amen? They will not depart. You train them upright, praise God in the way. God makes you a promise. Amen? But we worry more. We're so blind. Amen? We look at flesh. We want our kids to have money. We want our kids to be popular. I want my kid to be holy. Amen. I want my kids, amen, to walk with God. Amen. If they never, praise God, make $1 million, I don't care, as long as they live for God. Holiness without, they're not going to see God. Holiness without, they're going to split hell wide open. Amen. Be ye holy, God said, for I am holy. Amen. We're not going to see his face unless, praise God, amen, we're holy. Unless we're set apart from the world and from sin. Amen. I ain't going to stand and deceive nobody. Amen. I love people. I love young people. I want them all to be in heaven. Amen. But I'm not going to lie to anybody to be popular. Amen. Too many preachers are standing up trying to be popular. And they're afraid to tell the truth. Amen. I'm not afraid of the truth.
I mean, if you love God, you'll love the truth, and you'll love a man that tells you the truth. I mean, when I got saved, I told my pastor, I said, if you see me doing something wrong, preach on me. I want to know. I mean, I believe that's a true conversion when you're that way. When you want to know the truth and you want to walk in it. I mean, if you don't love the truth, God says, I'll send you a strong delusion and you'll believe a lie and be damned, is what God says. If you don't want the truth, you don't love it, I mean, you're in ripe condition for a deception. Some of us is older and got grown kids. Guess what? You got grandkids. You need to teach them the best you can. Tell them the truth, praise God. Don't push them towards hell. Don't do anything that God would not do. Can you imagine Jesus coming up to a child and saying, here's an AC/DC CD, won't you listen to that? Jesus wouldn't do that. Here's some heavy metal, won't you listen to that? That's the worst mistake, I think, praise God, I ever done was get mixed up with that. In the Valley of Tophet, do you know what Tophet means? Toph means drum, and it is place. It's the place of the drum. And like I said, when they began to offer the babies, to almost like the drums would begin to beat. And like voodoo drums, you know what I'm talking about? And it would drown out the screams and the cries of the baby. And you would never mistake a Molech worship service with the worship of Jehovah God. Hey man, did you know that? I mean, when people was walking by the Valley of Hinnom and they could hear the drums coming out of it, they didn't think somebody's worshiping Jehovah down there. They thought, oh, there goes another baby to the fire. Them heathen are offering another baby to the fire. Egypt had drums. The Molech worshippers had drums. The Baal worshippers had drums. Israel was surrounded by pagan worship that had the drums. I mean, the drum has always been associated with pagan worship. Pagan worship. What's prominent about voodoo? What instrument do they use? The drum. It's in paganism, witchcraft, voodoo, shamanism, magic, satanic rituals, all these things. You got that drum beat. You got the drum beat. Now why wouldn't God want that drum beat in His church? Drums is hypnotic. That's why. You get a certain beat, it causes switching in your brain from left to right. And it makes you get under stress. And you can't decipher what's good and what's bad when you're in that condition. And when Satan sees that you can't see what's harmful to you and what's good for you, he steps in. Satan uses hypnotism. It opens a door for the devil to get in your mind. And God don't want you to be hypnotized. God says, I want you to have a sound mind. Amen. I'll give you power and a sound mind. Amen. God doesn't take your mind away from you. God doesn't cloud your mind. He wants you to think clearly and, praise God, use the mind that He gave you. But if Satan can get you hypnotized, he opens the door for his many spirits to come into you. Do you know, far as I can tell from church history, that the drum was never brought into the church house until after the 1800s. You had 1800 years of Christianity, and then the drum was brought into the church house. You know where it come from? The slaves. Slaves were being saved. Some was being forcefully converted. They wasn't really saved, but they had to say they were Christians or they're going to be whipped. And they was brought from Africa, and guess what? They was voodoo worshipers with the drums. Now those that really got saved, they would say, that's the devil drum. Don't bring it to the church. That's the devil drum. And those that wasn't saved, they brought in the devil drum. That's where it come from. It come from the slaves that came over here from Africa. It started in their churches. Praise God. And it moved into Pentecostalism. That's where it went. Now it's all over the place. Now let me ask you something. Turn with me to the New Testament. We're going to bring it up to date. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 20 says, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. I mean, the church world has forgotten that God doesn't want you to fellowship with devils. Amen. But he said the Gentiles sacrifice to, well, who? To demons, to devils. I know there was a brass statue sitting there that they would put the babies on and they would worship and play the drums to, but guess what was in the statue? Guess what stood behind the statue and received the worship? It was a demon named Molech. A demon named Molech. I read from the 1500s, there was a demonologist that had studied demons. He said, there's a demon named Molech. And he said, he's after your children. He said, his job is to take your children away from you, and he loves to watch mothers cry. That's Bible. I mean, he took the children in the Bible, didn't he? Imagine the mommy sitting there watching this baby cook on the arms of old Molech. When that old Molech was destroyed, that demon didn't die. That demon just moved on to different places. There was a false god of the Greeks called Kronos. He was a horn god, something like Molech, and he had arms like this, and he was made out of metal. But they wouldn't heat his arms. They would put babies in it, and they would somebody pull a lever, and the arms would drop, and his mouth would open as if he was laughing, and the baby would roll down into the fire and be burned. The demon moved on. The demon moves on. Amen. He's not dead. He's still in the world. He's still after your children. That's his job. When I was studying about old Molech, and I saw that picture, I saw the picture of the horned god. He was called the metal god. And it came to my mind, amen, no wonder. I believe God worked it out so that little girl would send a picture on the internet of them men at that rock and roll concert doing this right here. Doing this right here. You think, what is that? I know what that was. I used to do that. I used to go to them rock and roll concerts. And it's just a worship service is all it is. Worship of the devil. And when you would raise your hand that way, you were saluting Satan. You were saluting the horn god of rock and roll. And the rock and rollers, amen, that's honest, they'll tell you that they worship the horn god, the metal god of rock and roll. That people have told me that rock and roll is not of the devil. I was the biggest metalhead I knew, I guess, at the time when I was into it before I got saved. And I'll tell you right now, it is of the devil. Amen. Ozzy Osbourne will tell you that he was possessed of the devil, and he is. Kurt Cobain of Nirvana would tell you that he was a devil-possessed. He would write, go through his neighborhood. This famous man, a millionaire, go through the neighborhood and write, God is gay on the walls and on cars and say, abort Jesus Christ. He would take dolls and hang dolls in his house with their heads chopped off and blood on them and drink blood. You think he was demon-possessed? And people listen to Nirvana. Christians. We're supposed to be Christians. Rock and roll, its roots is in voodoo. Robert Palmer, he said that the drum, the beta drum that they use in rock and roll, he said it's straight from voodoo. Let me just read what he said. I think I wrote it down. He said, beta drums, drums used in voodoo, provides a template for the inner rhythms of rock and roll. They serve as a conduit for spiritual energies, linking individual human consciousness with the gods. He knew what he's talking about. The gods is demons when he says gods. Little Richard, one of the fathers of rock and roll, he said, it's the devil. He said, it's demonic. And he said, the drums is the devil drum from voodoo. He was honest. There's a man named Aleister Crowley. Do your research. He was one of the main devil worshipers. And he wrote books and spiritual teachings. And he said, you can get people possessed if you get the lights working. If you get the music, the beat going. You can possess people. People will become possessed. And he began to teach the rock bands, and the rock bands picked up his book and began to receive it. Ozzy Osbourne sung Mr. Crowley. Aleister Crowley said his stated goal was to destroy Christianity and to promote drugs and perversion and fornication. He's done it. He's done it. And look what's happened to this nation since this stuff came into it. From the 50s onward, it has crumbled. It's crumbled. I have people tell me, well, you know, the lyrics is all that matters in a song. You know, if the lyrics is good, then it has to be all right. Let me tell you something. Hey, man, when you listen to that rock music, them bands, Satan inspired that music. I'll tell you, Satan inspired the music. He inspired the lyrics. He inspired the guitar playing. He inspired the drums. He inspired the whole thing in that rock song. You might change the words, but you're not changing the music. The spirit is still there. And I know what inspires it. When I was writing that music,
I saw in the reflection behind me a black figure, like the shadow of a man. I thought my brother had come home. He always wore a black jacket. I turned around, there's no man behind me. I looked back in the reflection, he was still standing there. God let me see, even though I was a wicked sinner, God let me see what was inspiring the music that was coming out of me. I believe he done it because he knew one day, amen, I could stand up and tell people it's Satan that's inspiring that music. Satan. And they worship the horn god, old Molech. That's who it is. It's Molech. He's just passed on to a different form now. Now, there's a great deception in the church world, not in this church. And it was introduced a few decades ago. They called it Christian rock. They said, why should the devil have all the good music? And they began to try to bring in rock and roll into the church house. And people, at first, they said, that's worldliness. You know, that's the devil's music. That's worldly. They wouldn't let it in. But as the church has got more worldly, and the Holy Ghost has left the churches, now pay attention to this. Holy Ghost has left many, many churches, and there's a void in there. They had to put something to fill the void, so what are they going to run to? Satan says, I got something for you. It's called Christian rock. You get the young people out that way. No Holy Ghost to get them out. What did the church use for 1950 years to get young people saved? The preaching of God's Word and the Holy Ghost conviction in the church house didn't mean nothing of the world. Now they got to have music. Now they have to have entertainment to get people come in. Rock music. It lures worldly teenagers into worldly churches. And it leaves them worldly. Molech is after your children. Amen. Just don't think because it's in a church house, it's godly. The Bible tells me, amen, in the last day that Jesus is going to gather people in front of him and they're going to say, we prophesied in your name, Jesus. We done mighty works in your name. He's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. You know what the problem was? It was religious, but it was in sin. They didn't get no power. You know, you want power as a Christian? Main power you to seek is to overcome sin. Amen. Overcome worldliness. Amen. To live right, praise God, before God. That's the power you need. If you really want to be a worshiper of God, it's time to know what God accepts from people. First thing God's going to accept that you've got to have before you accept your worship is surrender and obedience to the Word of God. If I want to live in disobedience to the Bible, if I'm unwilling to surrender, I come to church and lift my hands. God says, sit down. It stinks in my nostrils. Man, you can't worship God unless you obey God. It starts with obeying. Jesus looked at his disciples. He said, now why are you calling me Lord and you're not doing what I say? Their worship has to start with obedience. It's service, praise God. So begin with that. You know what they're doing today? They're not teaching young people. You got to repent. You got to obey God. You got to serve God. Pick up your cross. They're not telling young people that. And they watch things that God hates. They listen to things that God despises. They read the books that God hates. Then they come to church and they want the fire to fall. Only fire you're going to get is false fire. True fire always comes from the altar. Remember that. Read your Old Testament. The true fire comes from the altar, and you've got to offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, and the fire will fall from heaven. If you don't offer yourself on the altar, but you want to get it some other way, Molech will be there for you. He'll come through the music. God comes at the altar. He comes through self-sacrifice. If you have to have a drum beat, if you've got to have rock music, feel something, then what you're feeling is probably Molech. It's a counterfeit. The Bible says there are many spirits gone out into the world. I tell people, take the drums away. Sing Amazing Grace. Pray at the altar and see if you feel the same thing or not. And we worship God, amen, with a cross on our shoulder. Amen. With us on the cross, amen. That's how you have to worship God. Amen. People are preaching half the cross. I asked a youth group leader that took his to that Winterfest a few years ago, that Christian rock concert. He said, there's a bunch of them praying. He said, all of them's out of church now. None of them serving the Lord. It's false. It's false fire. Saying Jesus died for you is not enough to get you saved. Saying the prayer's not enough to get you saved. Jesus said, repent of your sins and believe the gospel and you'll be saved.
Amen. There's a cross. Amen. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. But there's a backside to that cross. You got to get on it. Jesus said, pick up your cross. Amen. Follow me if you want to be saved. They're not preaching the cross. The sea rockers ain't. The Christian rockers. Because they ain't never got on it themselves. Can you imagine a preacher that elicits applause, that wants money to preach? You know, give me $10,000, I'll come preach at your church. And I want you to applaud me, and I want little girls screaming my name. You say, man, that's a big wolf. Sea rockers are wolves. They're big old wolves. A man of God would not accept that. When that man bowed down before Peter, Peter said, get up, I'm a man. If they was of God, they'd say, shut up. Don't cry my name. Hey, man, don't scream my name. Don't applaud me. You worship God if you're going to worship anybody. Because those are real singers from God. It's applause. You know what that is? That is entertainment. Entertainment and worship is two different things. One is flesh and one is spirit. Amen. Worship is directed towards God. And I'm singing to God. I'm worshiping my God with my song. I'm not trying to make you clap with me. I'm not trying to get you to applaud me. I'm worshiping God. And I hope it helps you to worship. But entertainment is for flesh. I'm going to entertain you. I'm going to make you happy. I'm going to make you clap. That's entertainment. It's flesh. It's against God. Musical entertainment has no place in the house of God. Absolutely no place. But I'm going to tell you what to look for in true music. It has to be true to the Bible. It has to be true to the Word of God. You have to worship God in spirit and what? Truth. Let it be spiritual. Amen. Let it be true. If it don't match the Word of God, don't sing it. Praise God, it can't sound like the world. Amen. It's not set up to sound like the world. Crosby, she wrote 9,000 hymns, if I remember right. Holy, godly, spiritual hymns. You know, before she got saved, she wrote worldly music. But when she got saved, she wrote hymns, and she went to her people to put the music to it. And they tried to make worldly sounding music. She said, oh, no, this is holy music to God. It can't sound like the ballroom music. This is to my Father. It has to be holy. Music that takes you back to where you used to be is of the devil. Music that brings you back to the world, your mind back to the world, demons. The music has to honor and glorify Jesus Christ. Not me, not your church, not your denomination. The music has to honor God. It has to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, whose name is above every name, praise God. And whoever sings, you got to be dedicated to the Lord. You have to be dedicated to the Lord. Just like a preacher has to be dedicated to preach. To really sing, you've got to be dedicated to the Lord. Your heart, your life has to be on His altar. You know, the stuff that's getting up and singing in a lot of these churches, it's so far from godliness, it's pure demonic. And then they want to get up and sing and preach. And they get saved, don't you think? And if you're doing that, whatever you're doing, you don't want self to bring the attraction. What I'm saying is, I'm not going to dress in a way that's going to bring your attention to Martin. I'm not going to have the spike hair. I'm not going to have long hair. I'm not going to wear jewels on my clothes for you to look at me to get your attention. I'm not going to look like the world. I want me to fade into the background, let you see Jesus Christ. And that's how worship should be. Don't look at me. Look at Jesus.